Before we talk to Roark on this week's Survivor Feedback Show, I want to thank our friends over at Uncle Bud's Hemp. And they've got a jingle and a great offer where they're going to let 30 of our listeners try out their products for free. Here's that jingle.
Make it a hemp healthy day, the Uncle Bud's way. It works.
Hemp oil is all the buzz right now, but not the buzz that you're thinking about. Got pain, sore muscles, dry skin? Well, Uncle Bud's Hemp has a natural solution for you. Uncle Bud's brings the miracle of hemp oil to life with a natural collection of hemp-infused pain relief, skincare, and personal care products. Because hemp is an anti-inflammatory, it has a number of uses. Uncle Bud's has made hemp oil affordable and accessible to everyone. Head over to your local Walmart and GNC, look for the giant hemp leaf in the natural section, and you'll find Uncle Bud's assortment of hemp healthy products. Add Uncle Bud's hemp products to your daily routine. If you want to know more about all of the benefits of hemp oil and all of the different uses, go to UncleBudsHemp.com. You can also find a local Walmart and GNC store near you. And Uncle Bud's Hemp has a great offer for the listeners of our podcast. They are going to be giving away product at random to 30 of our listeners who already love Uncle Bud's Hemp or plan on buying Uncle Bud's Hemp products. How do you enter? Send a photo with the product or a one-liner on Twitter telling me why you love the product. Include hashtag Uncle Bud's to be eligible for a free product.
Make it a hemp healthy day, the Uncle Bud's way. It works.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who hopefully is going to be podcasting with a captive yet captivated audience here today. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here after our double episode feedback show edition. And I'm very excited to have a fantastic guest back here with me in the studio today. Please welcome back a healer from Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, Roark Luskin. Roark, how are you?
Ding.
Yes. Oh, yes. Like, it's so popular. It's
yes.
I feel like that is... Are my sound cues being appropriated? Is that right? The right word?
I think it is. It's cue appropriation.
Yes. Yes. Hey. Get your own catchphrases, everybody.
Good job, guys.
Ding.
Yes. Okay. All right, Roark, so nice to have you here.
Thank you for bringing me into your home. I am a captive. I'm not sure that I can leave this recording
yes,
studio.
Yes, okay. She'll blink if there's any problems. All right, but very nice to have you back here in the studio. We talked last season, and we had a good time, and now you're here. You're back after this double episode here. First day of December, home stretch of Survivor 37. Can you believe it?
I mean, I can't believe anything right now just because my mind. So as we've talked about before this began, I'm studying for my law school exams. And so my mind is so full of information right now. This podcast could go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. This is a big weekend. Roark is here. It is her birthday weekend as well. She said that she was partying like Carl on a reward challenge.
It's true. I'm very hungover. I'm the godfather of podcasting here.
No, that's me. I'm the Carl.
No, me.
Oh, you're the godfather of podcasting. Oh, you've stolen that. You've stolen that from Carl as well. So nice to have you here. Thank you for making some time with everything going on with your testing, your birthday celebration,
aging.
Your aging. It's all happening here in one weekend. So we had a lot going on this weekend on the podcast between everything with the double episode, double exit interviews. Mm-hmm. You listened to both those guys?
I did. I've upped my content consumption for this appearance.
We appreciate it.
If you want to reference anything that's been talked about in the past, like 3 days,
no, we won't
good.
Have a quiz here. You didn't have to study for this one. Yeah.
It'll get dicey.
Also, then I spoke with James Lim on Friday night. We talked about everything, and James had some good breakdowns in terms of where the game is at. Also, an interesting conversation about what it means to sit out of a challenge. And, you know, it really comes down to what you prioritize.
I think that neither James nor I have any opinions on choices yes. about individual immunity challenges.
Yeah. So that's an interesting conversation. And then also a 3+ hour podcast has been dropped in the last couple of days.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's the latest episode of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, where we simulated a fictional season of Survivor featuring the a list of the greatest of 50 TV characters of all time.
So did you guys have a computer play that out?
Yes.
Did you play it out?
Yes. Are you familiar with the Brant Steel, Rourke? Have you ever heard Brant Steel?
I've heard the term, but yeah. I'm not engaged with
Akiva,
it.
Akiva, Mike Bloom, and myself, we each drafted a team of six from the This Is Insider, the great website, This Is Insider, most memorable 50 TV characters of all time.
Wow.
We drafted our tribes and then had the computer simulate the season, and then we broke down all the play-by-play as it was happening. So that's up on robinswebsite.com as well. But here we're going to talk about everything going on. And Rourke, I'm really eager to get into everything here today because I've watched the episode a number of times, and it's the double episode. It's tough.
It's because, lengthy.
Yeah, it's lengthy. And I was watching it yesterday afternoon after lunch, and I was sort of like getting drowsy. No shade to the season, but that's what happens to me after I eat lunch. And but then I was like watching it more coherent today. And I really want to talk about this move again because I'm starting to feel like that it is, coming to me a different way.
Which move specifically?
The vote against Carl.
Okay.
And I feel like that I am up on Gabby for making this move. And I'm even further down on Christian for making this move. And I think the end is near for Christian.
You think his stock is dropping?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that maybe that he was going to be able to figure this out. But I'm starting to wonder, and I felt like that these two were joined at the hip the whole way, that maybe Gabby's future in this game doesn't even include Christian.
Do you think that's for real, or do you think that's a preview red herring?
I'm not even talking about the preview.
Okay,
none of my analysis is based on the preview, but I do think that the preview is corroborating some of this. But I don't want to poison the well, Rourke. I want to get your take on all of this.
All right. Okay.
I already poisoned the well.
A little bit.
I'm sorry.
But
tell me. I don't care. You could tell me that I'm crazy.
No.
You wouldn't be the first person.
I don't know. I agree with you, actually, that I think this was a great call for Gabby. I don't think Gabby had much. Well, so, OK, I guess like looking at her options, right?
Mm-hmm.
She could have just accepted the information from Christian and said, OK, we can sit on this. Like, you make your vote. I'll vote Angelina because that's, she could have kind of sat pat and just dealt with the knowledge in the back of her mind, but then gone along with the plan.
Yes.
And that is that's not necessarily a bad call, right?
Yeah.
Because then she keeps her David group. They continue their march forward with the majority. Obviously the David's kind of coming back from minority is a good plot line. That's a good arc.
Yeah.
But now that they're even, if the Davids just sort of like continue their iron fist, that's not really as fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so just from a producing standpoint, from a viewer standpoint, it's much more fun to mix it up. And so I think that this is a good choice for several reasons, for Gabby to create this, I guess they're getting back to the strike force a little bit. Because I think that Angelina and Allison, all of these people who are like, I'm so excited now to work with the Davids. I can't wait for the lines to be blurred.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, you have no choice right now.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Where Angelina's like, I'm not a woman scorned, but let's kill them.
Yeah.
And so like, it's not like you have you're not making a choice from like a position of power right now. If you're a Goliath, they're just forced into these choices. I'm not really answering your question. I realize that.
Okay. So That's fine. That's fine. Because I think there's a lot of different ways to talk about this. And I have a lot of voicemails that are sort of getting to this. But what I'd like to do is that when I was watching this, in terms of like how the episode put it together, I think that it was told a little bit more from Christian's perspective. But I think that this is not necessarily his story, unless it's the story of his downfall.
I think so. I mean, do you want me to just say what, like, I think? So I think...
Please don't hesitate.
To say what I think? Great. So I think, I still think Nick is the winner.
Like, okay.
That's just my, that's my winner prediction. Mm-hmm. Going back to Sophie's theory that you guys have been running with a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think Nick has been set up very well for a story, mm-hmm. Either in his own way or... just by, so I actually think a reason that this season is being so well received is because I think it's being edited amazingly well. I think that they're giving a concerted effort to give many people stories. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the reasons that we quote unquote don't have a Chelsea this season is because of the editing, not just because of the people. Like, mm-hmm. I think those things go hand in hand. Like, it's not fair to just say like, what an amazing cast. Seems like a great cast. I buy that. But I also want to give credit to like, the storytelling.
That's an interesting point. I don't know if anybody's ever said that before, because your season and Ghost Island as examples, that I think that you would say like, that there's nothing wrong with that, with the cast per se. Maybe we had stories that were not fleshed out.
Yes. And of course, like, I don't want to like rewrite history and say that like, if you're a dud, you're a dud. And if you're great at telling a story, you're great at telling a story. Like, those things are, I'm not going to say everybody's an equal mm-hmm. confessional giver, but I do think that, so just if you look at like the statistics of it, I did not come up with this myself. I was told this. Apparently, so like, Ben had more confessionals in 35 than Andrea has ever had across her three seasons.
Andrea
in total. So like, yes. Ben had more confessionals in one season than mm-hmm. entire Andrea lifespan. And like, that's crazy. And I think that my season was the Ben show. Ghost Island was the Wendell Dom show.
Yeah.
And I think that they went into this with a different goal.
More even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to the topic at hand.
Yeah.
The Christian show.
Yes.
Obviously, he's an incredibly likable, great storyteller. He is definitely thinking about his, like, he's back at camp and he's saving himself from boredom by thinking about what he's going to say in a good way. And it's coming, it's working. I do not mean that as a negative. And I think that I don't think he's going to win. I mm-hmm. just don't. Like, I think, so going back to like Nick's story, I think his craft is that like, they were really setting him up to be voted out first. Like, he was going, that edit was there in the premiere, that if Pat had not gotten injured, it was going to be Nick. And I think that's such like a great story. Like, I was going to be gone in the first 3 days and here I am. Like, we had to overcome all these obstacles. And like, I had to come back from this position of weakness, like that he's got. I feel like that's being crafted. Mm-hmm. And I think Christian is just not, he's just not going to make it there. I don't see it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I kind of feel like that in the tug of war for Nick between Mason Dixon and the nameless Davey and Nick alliance, that I feel like that Davey's kind of won that battle. And then I think that Christian may or may not be aware so much. And I think it's hard with, like, they sort of like have this like under the radar alliance, Mason Dixon. And like they, it may be strained right now. It seems like that Nick is more into Davey than he's into Christian at this point in time. And then, you know, Davey also had, you know, Carl, and that was like a three person alliance. And, mm-hmm. and maybe Christian doesn't necessarily realize that Nick is more drawn to these other guys. He has a shared idol with Davey and Christian doesn't know about that at this point in the game. And then, so he has Gabby as his number one, but mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that Gabby is being pulled away as well. I want to talk through the timeline of how this all went down on that second vote. And because I don't think that this is Christian's story. I think this is more Gabby's move.
I agree with that, totally.
And I myself have talked about it, Christian and Gabby. And I think that this was more Gabby's move, that Christian almost like didn't have another choice but to go with this. And I think mm-hmm. that he is almost like an unnecessary part now moving forward from this, despite all of the fun things that he's done in the season. So the first time we talk about this, about Carl getting voted out, is mm-hmm. Christian and Gabby are talking about the five. This is, I believe, while Carl is still on the reward challenge. And they're talking about that, and Gabby is asking if Davey and Carl really think that the Davids are a five. And of course, in the first hour, we had seen where that Carl is talking with Kara and Angelina, and Gabby is feeling left out of that. And she's talking about how that they won't get credit for the moves they're making, that they won't look like that they have any sort of agency unless we remove the Godfather. And Gabby is ready to make the move. It doesn't, mm-hmm. from what we see in this first conversation in the episode, in the second hour, Christian doesn't say, "Hey, I'm in." Like, mm-hmm. let's vote out Carl. But Gabby seems like she's ready to make this move. The next thing we see, Gabby talks to Allison about the move and says, "We need to get Mike and Kara in on, mm-hmm. on this move." Kara and Mike, they're still on the reward with Carl and Davey at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then after the reward, they come back. It's the sun is setting. The Goliaths are talking, and they are going to tell Gabby the vote is going to be Angelina. And Angelina is there. Mike White comes over to tell mm-hmm. Mike White. Okay. And Mike White, "Hey, just so you know, we're voting off Allison tonight." Okay. Christian comes over. Mike White is gone, and Nick is the one telling Christian the plan. And then Carl's the one says, "We're not telling Gabby. Tell Gabby that it's Angelina." And Christian, I think, very sheepishly is like, "Well, what's she going to do?
Yeah.
I'll tell her, you know, I'll convince her." And I think that should have been a tell for those guys.
Yeah.
I think that should have been a tell that Christian was not super into this. And then we see Christian talk to Mike White on the beach at nighttime. And the next morning is finally when we see Christian tell Gabby the quote unquote real plan. And Gabby is like, "See, I knew it. And this is almost like confirmation for Gabby. And at this point, the plan is on. And it seems like that Christian and her are on the same page. We don't mm-hmm. know if they had other conversations.
Right.
So then we get involved with all the Rice stuff. We'll get there eventually, too. Afterwards, we see Allison is the one who talks to Kara. And then Kara will then talk to Mike, and sort of mm-hmm. now Mike has been talked to by a couple of different people. And then we go to tribal council on Christian talking about he doesn't know where Mike is in all of this. But I really feel like that I don't see Christian as the key cog in this group that voted together.
Wait, you don't see Christian as the key?
No, okay, I don't.
So here's my thought. I think that clear. So to me, undeniably, Gabby organized this vote.
Yes.
Okay. So I think that that is like objectively true to the viewer. Something that I noticed a couple episodes ago was somebody very quickly offhand said to another person when they were deciding what David to vote for. So it must have been when the guy sold the power. They say, "Let's not worry about Gabby. She can never pull together a vote."
Mm-hmm.
And then they just like move right along. So I think that that was like a very interesting thing to slip in, where there might be a big problem for Gabby in the future about how we are seeing her and how she is perceived.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like leaving that in was a really interesting thing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I actually think Gabby completely organized this vote. And if we were operating on the principle that she couldn't pull together a vote, I think that that is not true. I think undeniably she needed Christian to come along with her.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that in that regard, he is the key, because they needed that piece of a number.
He also delivers her the confirmation that, hey, you are being excluded from this vote. He also plays a role in recruiting Mike. And we, you know, we see Kara also, that Mike was on the reward with Kara. So Mike has all the same information that she does in terms of, you know, what they want to do. But, you know, he gets it from a couple of different people. And, but I think that, you know, his conversation on the beach with Mike, I think, is still important to this. And we also, he has a relationship with Allison that we say at the start of the second episode, but let me bring in some of the feedback here, and let me start with this question from Emily about this. Here's Emily.
Hey Rob, this is Emily from Vermont calling. So from what I can see, the best path to the final for each of the women remaining is with each other. Do you agree? It was talked about a lot in the preseason, but so far nothing's come of it, and honestly, these women can't even find an idol. Why do you think that is? Get it together, ladies.
Okay, I think that's some sarcasm there from Emily, but I'm really starting to wonder then when I go back and I watch the clips, and this was something that was first brought to my attention when we had done a call-in show the other day. Listen to this when we see Carl going out of the game.
Good job, guys.
Ding, ding.
That was a premeditated ding from Gabby, from Kara, from Allison. Christian wasn't dinging, Mike White wasn't dinging, and to me, it seems like that the three women here talked about, hey, oh, remember when Carl did the bing? How about when Carl gets voted out, we all do ding?
So I think Carl, okay, sorry, I think Carl dinged when Carl, sorry, because we're talking about the idol nullifier, right?
Yes.
Carl dinged.
Well, Carl tweeted, I don't want to skip ahead to our social media, but just for the record, The Godfather, it's Bing. Now enjoy the rest of the season. Love all y'all and drink a beer for me. Bing, I'm out.
Because they, when I rewatched the episode, they do. I interpret that as a ding.
Well, there's no such thing as a Bing unless he's talking about cherries.
Or the Google competitor.
Yes.
Search engine Bing.
Yes, he's searching for that. That's how he found the idol nullifier. He's searching.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's a Bing. Whatever. I think it's a
ding. It does sound like a Bing.
Okay.
So I'm partial to
Let's go back to the three women.
Yes.
I wasn't sure that was exactly in unison.
Yes.
I felt like somebody sort of started it. I think Allison may have started it. Gabby sort of turns her body and sees Allison's finger go up and then cues off of it.
Here, tell me if it, here, let me play it again.
Good job, guys.
Ding, ding.
I mean, that's pretty close, you know.
Yeah, it is close. I have a feeling somebody started it and they thought it would be like cute to join in.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as you guys, I think, talked about, I don't know if it was with Hannah or somebody else, but, that when women tend to do well, they tend to be working with each other.
Yes.
And so certainly I think that if we're using that hypothesis, then every woman's best path to the end is to work with other women.
Yeah, that. Look, I don't know. I don't really want to explore too much of why that could be, but it does seem like that the evidence does bear out. And I kind of feel like when we are talking about who can beat who in the end, I kind of feel like when we're talking about, well, I don't know if anybody can beat Christian. I don't know if anybody can beat Nick, you know, Davey, you know. But in terms of these women that are still in the game, and specifically the three that we're talking about that ding together, kind of feel like that you know, the three of them are in the end. Like, you know, I don't know, flip a coin, spin a wheel. I don't know what you want to do, but like seems like a horse race.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, I mean, in terms of the three of them, I think Kara is getting I don't want to say bizarrely excellent, but she's getting a stupendous edit.
Stupendous edit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to talk about this as well, because I feel like that this is all part of this in terms of, because I wonder if this could be the direction that it goes. And I think that I'm sort of really fascinated to talk about this in terms of, where does Mike White fit into this? Is he sort of like the one man that could potentially survive this women's alliance? Is Christian like imminently expendable at this point by the women's alliance? Is he maybe used for a vote or two? And then, I mean, we're down to now 8 coming into this next vote. Now it's four and four. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, maybe could like a Davey or a Nick go home, and then Christian after that potentially. And then, interestingly enough, Angelina, who's been the person who's the most vocal about, gender issues in this season, could she be left out of the Women's Alliance?
Yes.
Yeah, which is also interesting. She was so quick to flip to the Davids, and now the women had all flipped away from that. Mm-hmm. And now does she have a place in this? Is this like in her wheelhouse enough where if there is this women's alliance forming of these three women, and then also with Mike there as well, is Angelina going to be able to get in that? And then is that going to be where we talk about this, this prophecy, or at least, Chekhov's women's idol from the first episode of the season? Is that something that comes up in the first episode of the season, only to have this end up where then the dominant force in the season, ultimately, idol or not, ends up being a group of women coming together?
That'd be nice. That would be a very, that would be a nice bookend storytelling mm-hmm. moment for sure.
Yeah,
I would support that. But
it's interesting.
No, it is. It is. I hope that bears out a little bit. Because while you were talking, I was thinking a little bit.
You're drifting off.
No, not at all. Never.
You were like Alec in the immunity challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to tune out. No. I was thinking about how I think that women also, the ones that are cast on the show, I don't want to say universally, but women tend to be like a little bit more predictable
mm-hmm.
and like their behavior is more stable. Like obviously you've got like a lightning rod, like Abby Maria every once in a while, where it's like, you just do not know what this person is going to do moment to moment. But I would say that and to tie in a little bit, the idol thing, like Joe from the Healer's Tribe is a good example of this, where Joe is the only person who even found an idol clue pre-merge. And that man is a lunatic. Like, and that's why, like, the people who find the idols are the ones who are working the hardest. Like, he was going crazy.
Yeah.
And like men that seem to be selected for Survivor, I think their behaviors tend to be more erratic. And so like, another reason, like, it makes sense to work with other women, it's because it's like, I feel like I know what you're going to do. Like, mm-hmm. it just feels a little bit more stabilizing. Whereas I think some of like the men just like behave crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how many hours it takes to find an idol on average. I don't know if anybody's ever been able to figure out that research, because we aren't able to tell based on what happens on the show. Are you able to sort of like when we talk about like, well, men can get away, women can get away, but in terms of, it actually on average takes, 6 hours of mm-hmm. searching for somebody to find an idol.
And like Joe found the clue, I think, in the middle of the night, and then couldn't mm-hmm. deal with it until the morning, I think is what happened.
I think
happened.
That was one of the times. You had two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was a piece of it. He was like getting up and full respect. And then also he had codes with the producers so that he could like, when you have to use the bathroom, you mm-hmm. say like, I'm going to go to the Coconut Grove, and it means like, don't follow me with a camera because I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say like, Coconut Grove plus diarrhea. And that was their cue for like, I'm not going there. I'm going to go search for an idol, so feel free to follow me. Like, so okay. So to us, like, we would think like, oh, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But production knew to like follow him still.
Yeah. So and that was so, like more of like a trick on you guys, but he was keeping, production looped in on, what he was doing.
Yes. And like, and what a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, I just think the people who end up with them are the ones working the hardest for it. I don't think it's not arbitrary.
Yeah. So do you feel like that does, like in terms of like the way that they are hidden, that there is some sort of a reason that they should be hidden a different way? Or that's just sort of like the, you know, sociological explanation of why it's been that way? It's not a coincidence.
I just think, I don't know that I'm not trying to explain the like gender imbalance. Mm-hmm. Also, I just think it's like that challenge where Christian says, like, I just wanted it a little bit more. And, you know, I think that you can take the risk and spend a lot of time out there. And like, I was the fire person. I'm right. not a man. Like JP was on our tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And like he and I collected the wood more than Ryan. Mm-hmm. And Ryan's a man, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Let me bring this back to Kara, because I've wanted to talk about her in this episode. And so here is a question. This is from one of our listeners, Matt in New Jersey.
Hey, Robin Ward. This is Matt from New Jersey. I wanted to ask a question about Kara. Do you think that so far in the game, we've been underrating Kara's game? I think, Rob, admittedly so, you'd say that you sort of wrote off Kara at the beginning of the game, whereas Stephen Fishback, for example, seemed to be riding that horse the entire game through. And it's interesting now that we see her in a position where she's made it to the final eight, and she has had such an impact in the game in the sense that she's social with everybody. She seems to be getting along now with the David tribe and kind of integrating herself in with the Davids. So what I'm asking is, did we miss Kara?
Okay. So you've
Let's said... Let's hear your thoughts.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, Matt. Okay.
Didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes. So you mentioned you feel like she has a stupendous edit.
Yeah.
I feel like that her storyline has been a lot of like, you know, why are people telling me this? But I have not seen her, you know, act too much on the information that she like we saw in the episode. Carl talked to her about how, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, vote out Allison. But we never saw, like, and she did vote against Carl in the episode, but I feel like that she, like, people were already talking about we need to include Kara in the plan before mm-hmm. she came back. It wasn't like she came back from camp. Unless, you know, again, I'm going off of what we see in the episode.
Sure.
You could say, like, no, actually, in the previous episode, when she was told by Carl that it was going to be Alec, then mm-hmm. she laid the ground work for a lot of stuff. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I didn't see it. That's sort of like supposing from, you know, fan fiction at this point.
Yeah.
But so I just haven't seen her take the step. Even the previous week where she was the person saying like, hey, we need to blindside Dan. Like everybody else blindsided Dan, all the Davids blindsided Dan without her. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't even in on the vote. That was a blindside of Dan. So a move that she was sort of trying to get going ended up happening without her being a part of it.
Yes. So here's my thought on her specifically. And that's why I said I don't want to take away from her whatever she might be doing out there, because I'm sure it's plenty.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I sort of said like a bizarrely good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that she's being shown in an incredibly positive light, but then to your point, not exactly doing anything, but is getting like powerful confessionals about how, like you said, like, I'm not going to be told what to do. I'm going to make sure like my own outcome is what happens. Mm-hmm. And so my guess for her is that we are being set up for like a fallen angel story mm-hmm. where she's my guess for goes out at fire.
Okay. All right. Interesting. So you feel like that. I thought you were going to say that. And that's why I think she's going to win.
No.
Okay.
I don't think she's going to win.
All right. So there's a lot to chew on in this season.
Certainly. No, we've got a lot of, like I said, I think we're being told a lot of stories and I really like it. And mm-hmm. I think we have a lot to consider.
Because that's a popular theory right now that she is actually going to, you know, that we've seen her. She hasn't really been, you know, impactful in any of the votes really to this point. But, you know, we've seen a fair share of her, certainly in, you know, the relationship with Dan and then not wanting to stay with him and then him ultimately going out, even though she wasn't part of that plan. And some people feel
she
like
she was a fake friend.
She could be a fake friend even. But, you know, there's definitely some, you know, popular thoughts that she could potentially go very far because we're seeing her so much.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think she's going far, and I think that they want us to feel really positively about her. I think they're setting her up very well for a positive receipt when she gets burned by not creating fire. This is just my prediction. I'm going out on a limb. I know nothing.
Because in a hypothetical situation where we're talking about the three, the dingers in Kara and Gabby and Allison, if they got to the end, if that group of three got to the end, I kind of feel like that she would probably be, based on what I've seen so far, I think that I would, you know, have her a distant third in terms of who I would vote for.
You think what?
Gabby, Allison, and Kara in the final three.
Explain to me why it's not closer between Allison and Kara.
Well, I feel like that Allison has been more part of the strategic discussion, and she's been, at least from what we've seen, that she's been more with working with Gabby and Christian and trying to, you know, she was a part of both of the strike forces where, I mean, we saw Kara, she wasn't in on the vote with Natalia. She really, you know, wasn't involved in... Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to damn Allison too, you know, this Allison has won a challenge. I feel like that she's been a more visible part of like what's been going on with the game, but I just feel like Kara has kind of been more just there.
All right. I think so.
I would have Gabby as the winner of those three.
I would as well. Based on what we've seen so far, I would put Gabby as the winner. I wonder if I mean, you're setting up this idea in my head where what if Allison wins final immunity, brings Gabby, and Nick defeats Kara and Fire, and then Nick wins?
Yeah, I mean, that
could be. I like this story in my head.
You like that? You like this story?
I do for my own sort of like mental predictions.
Yes. But,
I don't like it for Allison or Gabby or Kara. That's too bad for them.
It's too bad for them.
Because in my head, Nick is one.
Yeah. And we don't really know in terms of Mike White, you know, who his number one is. Is it Kara? Or is that just we're just supposing there?
I mean, he called Allison Wonder Woman, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think they might be close.
But he was on the fence of like, he made it seem like it was a 50-50 ball. Of like, should I vote out Carl or vote out Allison?
Yeah, but you know they make you talk through all of it. Like, come on, all of that's on tape.
Yeah, I guess so. I
mean, every option.
But, you know, Christian seemed also legitimately concerned about Mike White and how he's an actor and how it's possible that he's going to go the other way. Everybody's just taking him at his word.
Well, I think Mike was... So Mike was pulled into the strike force, but then sort of immediately was like, this is a bad idea. I regret this. And I've made a terrible mistake. And so withdrew from that and went, obviously, tribal lines for a bit there. Obviously, Mike White is a ridiculously smart guy.
Yes.
And I think that he strikes me as just like it seems that he's having like a great time out there. And I don't think... Just as Sandra and Sophie brought up voting with your heart, not your head. Like I wonder if somebody like Mike White and how we've talked about athletes in the past, like just come in and say like, let's just have a great experience because I probably like, nobody's probably going to vote. If Mike couldn't, if he was to win, he couldn't sit next to any David. Can you imagine like Nick talking about losing his mother to an opioid crisis and Mike White being like, why?
Well, you know, the Emoji Movie really did not get a great reception on Rotten Tomatoes.
Exactly. And it was very upsetting.
That was
emotionally.
Traumatic. That was tough. But he's done a really good job though so far that he's hung in there. He has a good secret scene this week also talking about how he's been the person where I think that him and Angelina, I think, are good. There's a good juxtaposition there in terms of the way that they approach strategy and maybe even, dare I say, negotiation, where that Mike White tries to, you know, manipulate in like the subtlest of ways with like a little bit at a time, where mm-hmm. Angelina has a much more of like a, you know, a blunt force approach of mm-hmm. how she wants to approach things.
Yeah. Did I bring up my favorite poem last time I was here? This is like, I'm really sorry.
A very Fishbackian exactly. move.
Exactly. No, it's great. It's like the first poem I read to like explicate as a essay in ninth grade. So it's tell all the truth, but tell it slant, success and circuit lies. And like, I just think that's
can you say that again slower?
Yeah. Tell all the truth.
Yes.
Tell it slant. Success and circuit lies.
Okay.
And it says like...
success and circuit
lies. Success in circuit
okay.
lies. So in circuitousness. So like...
Yes.
Telling the truth in a circular way. And then it says like... It rhymes lies with I. Like... If you look at the sun too directly, you'd go blind, basically, is what it then like it analogizes to. And I think that is like, that to me is what makes a great Survivor player, and I think that's how we just described Mike, where he gets you there, but he gets you there piecemeal instead of just like laying it on you in one like massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Truth. Yeah.
Mike in he has a secret scene this week where he's talking about how that he's like he wants to sort of be like the counsel for everybody that is left in the game, where he wants them to be like, think of him as like an advisor. And he says, hey, I'm still here and people aren't looking at me as like a short or long term threat in this game. And that's a really good thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think he's cruising. I think he's in a good little spot and will be held on to for a couple, I think.
Okay. Let's take another voicemail here. And let's bring in a great friend of yours and mine. And let's hear what Allie has to say about what's going on. Let's bring in Allie in Ann Arbor.
Is it advice for my exams?
Hi, Robin Rourke. It's Allie Lasher and the Ann Arbor Wine and Cheese Goldfish Alliance.
As law students, we have to ask.
What do you think of Angelina's negotiation strategy? How should you negotiate with Jeff?
And don't you have more leverage because Jeff can't let you die?
Thanks.
It's true. There's a liability problem there.
Okay. Rourke,
yes.
Would you like to talk about the negotiation strategy with Jeff?
I mean, I think we have to. It was such a... It was a centerpiece.
I think we need to talk about this. So, okay, do you have a different perspective on this from anything that's been talked about in the discourse from the last couple of days?
I think I do. I think that so I know that there has been a fair amount of Twitter action on this matter.
Yes.
Because, you know, we that's where we settle things. That's where debates are won and lost.
Or ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's no winning on the internet. So I know that Steven, and I know that this is so just to like scaffold our story here. I know that Steven tweeted mm-hmm. on the night of it airing, you know, why would you start low and admit it's low?
Mm-hmm.
And Angelina replied saying, it was a strategy to show that I was open, and specifically in that tweet said, Jeff shuts negotiations down.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree with that.
Yes.
I would say that it is not shutting a negotiation down to wipe the chess pieces off the board and like bring out a checkers like board and just say like, no, this is my negotiation, not yours. Like, that's not shutting it down. That's just saying your offer is stupid. Here's what I'll take.
Do you want to hear the clip again?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So
I fall asleep to this clip.
Yes. Okay. That's perfect. You should get some a Bluetooth eye mask.
Yeah. For that.
Okay. All right. Here is the negotiation and how it went down from the episode. And we can pause this if you have anything you want to jump in along the way.
Question for you before we get to the immunity challenge.
Yeah, go.
So the tribe was wondering if you were open to a negotiation regarding rice.
Yeah, what's up?
So we're getting...
Okay, and how is this going so far?
I think pretty good.
Yeah.
I will say, can I say very quickly that Joe wanted to go negotiate with Jeff before challenge runs? And I was like, oh, please God, no. Like, please God, no. And basically begged him not to, and we obviously didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I would have died.
What did Joe want to negotiate for?
So Cole was doing a good job catching fish.
Mm-hmm.
But he lost the snorkel and the goggles, which are like really the essential portions. Because the spear is only useful if you can see the fish underwater.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, Joe was like, let's negotiate to get the snorkel and the goggle back. And he literally was like, we'll give Jeff, like, the traps.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had just won the big fishing reward and then promptly, like, lost it all. But, and I was like, Joe, there's no chance. He will, like, rob us blind. Like, there's no way this is going to go the way you think it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we like, had this out before, right before going to a challenge. And luckily, we prevailed upon him not to do it. But it would have been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
A complete disaster. It would have been so embarrassing.
My read on this is that I think that Jeff is a little annoyed here to start, that his very quick. Yeah. What's up? That to me reads is that, you know, I am not super excited to engage in this manner at this point in time. I think he'll come around. Okay. But I think
question for you
start
before
off,
we get to the immunity challenge.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, go. You know, that's not like, okay. Thanks for pulling me aside. What do you want to get into? How's everything going?
So the tribe
he's terse.
Was wondering if you were open to a negotiation regarding rice.
Yeah, what's up?
See, that's very, very quick answer. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I feel like that he's not feeling it so far.
Okay.
So we're getting critically low. We're at the point now where we have at best 10 of these shells remaining. And so we're prepared to make an offer to you unless you want to put the first offer out.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
See, now producer
amused.
Jeff is like, okay, this is good TV now. Okay, yeah. We got something. All right.
I like that you brought props.
Yes, that was good. Because you want to have the visual representation.
Yes, exactly.
And I really do love the analogy of, like, this is Shark Tank, really. She's sitting in front of the sharks, and she's talking about her company. And, you know, every day that there are survivors that are going hungry, and there needs to be
a better way for them.
We need to disrupt the hunger of the survivors, that we are down to these 8 people or these 9 people have only 10 shells, which is not enough for 9 days of survivor. That's why I've invented this new thing that I'm going to tell you about if you're interested.
This is fun.
Yeah.
So our starting offer, and this was discussed as a whole, is that we want to start with an offer of all of the fishing gear, the majority of all of the cook sets, with the exception of a small pot and a large pot and 1 knife, as well as 2 of the comfort chairs and the
music's not helping her here.
Mm-hmm.
The music is kind of like a little...
It's doing no favors.
If it was more of like a swelling orchestra, it's a little bit like
a little plinky.
Plucky. Yeah. It's a little bit like something wacky is happening.
A little
happening.
Bingy. Maybe.
Yeah. Bing. Bing, 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 bing.
Hanging swing from the comfort win, as well as the remaining tea and coffee from that win as well. So that is our starting point. We're hoping that, you know, if you have a counter, we are all ears.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think so far?
I think he has a counter.
yeah.
So, I think that, I mean, it's technically a fine offer.
It's too much stuff. It's a list of things.
Yeah.
Jeff doesn't want it. He's, you know, he's not somebody who's coming in and then like auditing your company and like, okay, here are the assets. Boom, 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 boom,
mm-hmm.
boom. Like, there's no story there in terms of like, for the viewer at home, there's no way to sort of like wrap your head around how useful those 9 items are.
Yes.
It's a registry.
True. It's more of a resume, less of a story.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
The tarp is a story of like we were out here in the cyclone and so you know, as the producer of the show, this is not an interesting offer to Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, say like we've been cold and freezing, but we're starving and that's more important. So we're willing to give up this tarp, which has been covering us. Make it more of a story. But I think there's also, so in this tweeting back and forth, to bring that in a little bit, she said, like, if you want evidence of not negotiating with Jeff, here's this funny 115 thing. And what's funny
which I think was for Drew Christie trying to get a new Flint, I think. Right.
Right. So, but remember, there were three negotiations as a part of like that sequentially occurred where it was, we lost the Flint. Please, new Flint. We found the Flint. Give us what we negotiated away.
Yes.
And then we're starving. We'll give you our whole camp. Mm-hmm. So just like, that's so great.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the only one that he literally shut down was the, we found the Flint. Please give us back what we negotiated away. Mm-hmm. And because that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's having your cake and eating it too. That's just, that's an outrageous thing. That's reasonable to shut down.
Right, right.
But the other two, he completely entertained.
Right. So I kind of feel like that the lesson here is that, you know, and they got the rice. So to Angelina's credit, like, you know, this did work. And I think that I'm sort of coming at it, looking at it as like almost like a baseball trade where, you know, the person on the other end of the phone could say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, I think that Allie was right on the phone, or the Ann Arbor Wine and Cheese group was right on the phone, that Jeff is probably going to have to say yes to, can we, you know, we have no food left. We're going to die.
Yeah.
So he kind of is going to have to say yes. So she could sort of like, my opening offer is, the mayor of Slamtown's jacket. What do you think? And he'd say, all right. No, that's not what I want.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to sit out of this challenge. Like, the same point.
Exactly. So, and also, like, you know, they always say in negotiation, like, know your best and final. Like, what's your BATNA?
Yes.
So I'm sure that was in the course. If you agreed as a whole about what your best and final was, then Jeff knows your best and final because production overheard you. So, like, Jeff had to have gone into this knowing what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just drawing you out to create the moment. Right. And so, like, maybe he had a couple ideas in his head where it was like, if it goes this way, maybe I pull this on them. If it goes this way, maybe I do this. So maybe he had some sort of like a decision tree about it. But, I agree with you. They were getting this, and I loved your idea where it's like, it's immunity plus a vote,
plus,
or like
a vote.
Immunity
yeah.
for three try. Like, I definitely think it could have been harsher.
I definitely feel like that they got the rice. They got off easy. So, it was a win for Angelina. And so Woods, how convinced was she and the other players that they were definitely going to say yes. I do think that there was some concern from the other players of like, oh, well, I don't want Jeff to like, Jeff's going to, you know, really get into me. And I think that she did take, you know, maybe it wasn't so much that she was like noble in that, hey, I will do that. But she was the one that was not afraid to take the bullets from Jeff as opposed to what is he going to do?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready for it.
Verbally eviscerate you. It's fine.
Okay. Let me give you another question about the negotiation strategy. This is from another one of our listeners, Rihanna.
Hey, Rob and Rourke. This is Rihanna from Vancouver. I just had a thought I'd love to get your opinion on. So on Know-It-Alls, Rob was saying that instead of Angelina just being made to sit out of the immunity challenge in order to get the rice, she should have had a vote cast against her as well. And I agree that was way too easy because she probably wasn't going to win that challenge anyways. But what about instead of just sitting out of the challenge, she had to sit out of the challenge and she wasn't allowed to vote that night? Because then she doesn't get to play the martyr and just get to go back to camp you know, the hero who sat out so everyone could get rice, but she might actually be screwing over her alliance. What do you guys think? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks so much.
You know, the idea of you get a vote on you at tribal council, I think that might be like a little too hard. I don't see Survivor actually doing that. I would do it, but I don't think Survivor would actually do that. But the idea of that, sure, I'll give you guys a rice, but it's going to cost you your vote tonight. And this was something that we saw in Ghost Island, where people lost their vote when they took a gamble. Mm-hmm. This I really feel like that, and this was a good blindside in this episode, but at 5-4 here at the final nine,
it's incredibly important to have your vote.
It really would have been, I think, some really great producing if they could have had that happen, where they pick a spot and now all of a sudden, and now Angelina is a Goliath, but she was going to vote with the Davids. That really would have thrown the plans into chaos.
Yeah, no, that would have been great. I like that suggestion so much.
And I don't know who would have taken it. It's like, well, look, you guys want to eat? Let me know. And then if nobody wants to do it, maybe, next time, two people are not going to vote,
So
it's not like, let's all just vote out Mike White, and it'll be a 7-1 vote next time. So now two people don't get to vote. So that was really good idea, Rihanna.
Yeah, I like that.
I like it too. At worst, hopefully we can get this into like a Survivor Maryland.
Definitely. No question.
Yeah. Okay. Let me give you this question. This is from Josh from New York. Okay. Josh from New York has a question also about Jeff at these challenges.
Hey, Robin Rourke. It's Josh from New York. Am I crazy, or did Jeff tonight twice say you have a 1 in 9 chance or a 1 in 8 chance at getting to the end? He normally says you have a 1 in 8 chance at winning $1 million. Do you think the prize is over $1 million this year and they're going to surprise people? Am I looking too much into this? Thanks.
Okay. So what did Jeff say in terms of, and I have, this is from the second challenge, the second immunity challenge in the episode.
Safe at the vote, guaranteed a 1 in 8 shot at getting to the end.
A 1 in 8 shot of getting to the end. Now, mm-hmm. of course, we don't have Christian and Gabby here.
0.0.
Yeah.
Be able to tell us all the problems with Jeff's math. But okay, so if you win immunity, mm-hmm. you have a 1 in 8 shot of getting to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Don't 3 people get to the end? Don't you have a 3 in 8 shot of getting to the end?
But then, and also, how does the how does your odds just aren't that simple for like many reasons. Like, mm-hmm. like the fire makes it so random that Yes, this is not good.
Yeah, so
this is bad analysis.
Okay, so Jeff should take getting to the end out of here. So if you'll win immunity, you'll be 1 of 8 people left in the running mm-hmm. to win the game.
Yes, exactly.
That technically
just rolls off the tongue
to be what he says. Is there any possibility? Is Jeff sly like a fox here?
No. This would be such an MTV move. Like, I don't know. So there was a challenge season mm-hmm. where the host kept giving confessionals where he was like, the prize is actually more than $300,000. I'm not telling them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it was hysterical because we were like, this isn't like a good secret right. you're keeping with the audience.
Right.
Like, you want them to play for more, like, you want to see them play harder because they know it's for more money. So, like, that's a bad secret to keep from your contestants.
Right. The good version of that is sort of like the Joe Millionaire, where you've actually slashed the prize money, where
right.
the prize is now.
Poor man.
Right.
The plumber.
The prize is now, $1,300.
Yeah.
And so, what the survivors don't know is that they're actually not, they're playing for their plane fare back to the United
exactly.
States.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We are holding their tickets hostage.
Yeah. So they're playing for a lifetime supply of Bula Burger Bar and nachos.
Yes.
What? Yes. So it's actually a $1 million gift certificate to the Bula Burger Bar. You really should have read the fine print.
Oh, my God. And then like a... you know, a
who negotiated this contract?
Cricket Wireless.
Cricket Wireless cell phone account for a year. So that would be something at the Final Tribal Council.
Yeah, that would, I would be so furious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. I thought that this week's immunity challenge was so epic. Do you have any thoughts on the immunity challenge from this week?
I don't want to retread. I thought you guys have nailed it.
Yes.
I thought it was so good. Fun, really enjoyable.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me bring in another question from this week. This is one from one of our listeners, Amanda, who wants to see if lightning can strike twice. Here is Amanda.
Hey, Robin Rourke. This is Amanda Fallon calling. So Rourke was spot on last season about Donathan receiving that sweet, sweet Sia money at the reunion. So I want to know her prediction for who's going to get that bonus cash on reunion night. Thanks.
Okay. So I had forgotten about this. So you had predicted last season when you were here that Donathan was going to get paid from Sia. What was making you feel like that that was coming?
I think it was, wasn't it an animal thing where he was talking about like protecting animals?
I don't know. I think it was that that she was impressed with what he was talking about.
I know why she gave it to him. It was because he dedicated his life to taking care of his family.
And yes. So I don't know if there was anything to do with animals, though.
But that was my... I'm talking about what my prediction was.
Oh, your prediction was.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. That's what my prediction was founded in.
Yes.
And so there have been no animal killings or sparings in this season thus far. So it's a little tough to say.
However,
yes,
that I believe that we have two players in the season who have been vocal about not eating meat in Angelina and Mike White.
Oh, yeah, because she was talking about veggie burgers.
Veggie burgers and fish, and she doesn't eat meat.
Do you think that's been like a little too subtle?
Mike White drinks a soy latte.
I also think, I think Sia might have a type.
Hmm.
So I don't think Angelina's going to get that money, but, I think that who would,
but I kind of feel like that in the friends of Jeff, I kind of feel like that Sia and Mike White are in the circle.
They've hung out, so she can't give him money.
That would be weird.
That'd be very inappropriate.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that you give Donathan $14,000.
And he buys a house.
Yeah. And it's like, oh my God. You know, you give Mike White $14,000. He's like, thanks,
like,
I guess.
Vacation in Florence.
Yeah. Doesn't. So I guess that does any part of Sia's equation factor in who can do the most with the money?
I do think that that is a relevant factor. Yes.
Yes.
I could see if she chose Mike White, I could see her being like, Mike, I've donated $50,000 on your behalf to your favorite charity. Mm-hmm.
So who has she given? She gave money to Ty and to
Donathan.
Was there a third person too?
No.
Just those
two. She thought about Keith Nail, too much social anxiety.
Okay. Well, that kind of throws her type off.
Well, isn't it like,
or if you think about it, but you don't pull the trigger on
sort
it.
Sort of like petite man.
Wait, this is a very specific time. So all right, Keith Nail, Ty, Donathan. Yeah. Give me the through line here.
Okay. There's definitely an accent factor.
Okay, accents. Okay, I like this.
There's a body size.
Okay.
So like you can't be like a physical, there's a physicality to that.
Alpha male.
Correct.
Okay.
I think that there's a fish out of water element that she relates to.
Fish out of water. Okay, this is you're really getting somewhere. Now, I don't know. Yeah, so do we have somebody that sort of that fits in this mold?
Would we maybe say maybe Davey?
So Davey is coming out of nowhere to maybe get that Sia money.
Or I would say though,
for you, Davey.
If we're going, the problem is if I stick with my Nick as winner, he won't get the Sia money. But I could see. I think Nick is a factor because of I think Nick is a factor because of his accent.
Yes,
because of his body.
Check. Yeah, because of his body. Why? Because he's not tall enough.
He seems slight and soft.
Slight and soft. Nick, let's turn off the podcast.
I mean, if, as people have said, if current people are listening, don't listen to me.
That was a blind side, though, for Nick. I don't think he was expecting that one. That to come out of nowhere.
He's not an Arnold Schwarzenegger. What do you want me to say?
Okay, not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And then he...
Nick, I'm so sorry. You're like my nephew Patrick. You'll never be able to compete with me.
You got into it a little bit. At first, I was skeptical. But you got there.
Okay.
And then he, because he's a date, like, I think it has to go to a David.
Okay. All right.
She views herself as a David.
Are we missing Christian?
He might be.
She loves Cochran.
Oh, that's true.
He doesn't have an accent, but.
Yeah. He might be too like technically educated. I think that's problem is with Nick too.
Yeah,
actually.
But I'll tell you what will really help him. And this is, you know, I've been talking about that maybe the end could be near for Christian. Mm-hmm. If he goes out final eight, that's like the Rupert spot. That's like the, you know, person. Oh, he should have won.
Yes.
He could get that whole thing. That is right in Sia's wheelhouse.
That's true.
Although I feel like she likes getting to finale night.
She does like getting a free
She might
ticket.
Forget about you by then. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see ya.
Yeah.
See if this happens. But I don't know. Maybe is she watching? Has she been tweeting about the show, Sia?
I don't know.
Does she live tweet the show?
No way. Yeah.
Although, you know what? I do wonder, this was sort of a working theory that I'm having. You know, if she's watching the show with Cochran, you think that Cochran is sitting there maybe poisoning the well about
this Christian guy.
Is it just me or is he overrated?
Yes, definitely. No. He's whispering.
I don't see what all the hype is about.
Yes, definitely. He is whispering negative comments into her ear.
So many Christian feuds. He's fighting a war on so many fronts.
It's like Alex, like, you're going to step down. You're going to fall. You will not give that money to Christian.
How could you, Sia? Okay. Let's keep going along with some more stuff. This is an interesting question from Kayla from Canada. Wants to ask you a question. I don't know if you would know the answer to this, but I thought this was pretty interesting from Kayla.
Hi, Robin Rourke. It's Kayla from Canada. I've been noticing lately that almost all the time, all the Survivor teams or tribes are usually orange versus purple. And I'm wondering why this is the case. Is it just cheaper for Survivor to buy the orange and purple buffs in bulk? Thanks.
Do you think it's weird that we've had two seasons in a row where it was orange versus purple?
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that.
Have we ever had two seasons back to back with the identical color palette?
So, I mean, 34 was three tribes. What were there? Or no, they weren't.
They went to three tribes.
Yeah, they went to three tribes. Sorry.
I want to say it was the green and pink, but I could be getting that confused with Second Chance. So I kind of feel like that maybe there is like some sort of an expert that sort of is like, all right, what is the ultimate contrast? Because I kind of feel like that when they do a certain color, that it's always the opposite color. And I'm sure there's somebody who's a listener who's way smarter than I am and would be able to say like, yes, you know, they always, whenever it's orange, it's always orange versus purple. And whenever it's, you know, red, it's always red versus blue because that is the, you know, those colors are, you know, you the most like you know, diametrically opposed or whatever it is. But I think it's weird that they did do orange and purple back to back, and it was coming off of a season where orange was the cursed tribe, and then of course they gave the orange buffs to the underdog tribe. So I don't know if that was sort of baked in. And I also wonder that maybe when they have the challenges, you know, the challenges are painted by, and I don't know if we've had any repeat challenges, but I do wonder maybe like like if you have like if they have a warehouse with orange painted lumber,
and just then bring it back out.
Right, is there a cost saving issue of if you have, you know, if all of your challenges are going to be orange and purple, you take them apart, you have to build them up, so then instead are you saving a lot of time and ultimately money by, instead of like, all right, well this season, all right, it's going to be, you know, red versus blue. All right, paint all the orange lumber, paint everything we got, and now start from scratch.
I mean, when you are running a profit enterprise, you want to cut as many costs as possible. Like, why not? That's a good insight. That's a close observation.
Will the colors permanently be orange and purple?
Permanently in Fiji, permanently orange and purple?
Yeah. I mean, we could like you know, trade off. Maybe it's like the odd numbered seasons are orange and purple, and the you know, the even numbered or green versus pink or whatever it is.
Yeah. I just lock it in.
I thought you would know. As well. I thought you would know that.
Oh, please.
Okay. This is another thing that I want to get into. This is a email or a voicemail from one of our listeners. Let me play this one for you from Jared. Let's go to Jared.
Hey, Robin Rourke. This is Jared from Seattle. Getting letters with rewards is pretty common, but this was the first time that I can remember being able to see the actual letters clearly. Namely, one in particular this episode, Mike's. So, just being curious about what kind of stuff loved ones usually write on their letters, I pause the screen. Just a guess, but I think this was a pretty atypical loved one's letter. Let me give you guys a synopsis of Mike's letter from his dad, as there were three distinct parts. 1, you're pale. 2, you're old. 3, you're short. Maybe you guys can break it down line by line. The frame is at 12 minutes, 18 seconds. I'd love to get your guys' take. Thanks.
Okay. Shout out to the Survivor Reddit, who have a pretty solid screen grab of the Mike White letter from his dad. Would you like to hear what I am able to make out from Mike White's letter from his dad?
Can I guess where I think it's going?
Sure.
Okay. That I think that those are three things that would indicate that you would die on Survivor, right? That, like, if you're pale, you're going to get a sunburn. If you're short, you're going to not do well in challenges. And then what was the other one? You're old?
Yes.
You're old, you might be voted out early. Like, so I think that you start by, like, these three things and say, like, these are three things that could have held you back, and yet you're here. And, like, it's going to twist into a very typical loved one's letter.
Okay, well, let's see. Okay. So the letter opens with, and you can't see the very top corner, it says, but I'm going to interpret that. If you can read this letter, it means you're still alive. Good. That's all we ask of you. Please come back alive. Actually, I'm not worried. It's probably easier for you to survive in a jungle than it was to survive growing up in Southern California. However, your mother and I have to apologize for all of those traits that we've passed to you that will make Survivor a real challenge. For example, we feel bad about passing on to you our marshmallow white skin inherited from our ancestors in Scandinavia, where the sun only shines on holidays. We know.
Apparently, these people are very happy, though. Those Nordic countries, it's where it's at.
We know you're staying basted in sunblock, or we'd worry. Why not to suggest to Jeff Probst that, to be fair to the millions of marshmallow skin people like us, that next year he moves Survivor from an island in the South Pacific to a fjord just below the North Pole?
Well, they should get this info to Tyler Perry. I bet he could affect some change.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We also regret conceiving you 24 years early. If we'd waited, you would be about the same age as your competition. Now you know why I felt like Father Time stumbling behind you, carrying a scythe and an hourglass.
Wow, this is beautiful.
2 seasons of The Amazing Race. Then again, maybe being older will make you wiser than the rest. Just keep it a secret or you'll suffer the next tribal council. We're also sorry that you aren't as tall as you'd like. I hoped all my tall genes, and then this part is cut off, over the not-so-tall genes of your mom. Instead, you got her brains and her
stature,
good something, not stand as tall as the bronzed male models trying to oust you. Yes.
I like this.
So yeah, that was well done. I looked up the Mike White Wikipedia. Somebody had asked me a question about Mike White recently, and I saw that his dad was actually a famous speechwriter. Also, I had not seen Mike and his dad compete on The Amazing Race, but his father, it was a speechwriter and ghostwriter for figures like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson, which was very, very interesting.
Really specific claim
to fame.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So,
but no wonder he's written a good letter.
He's a speechwriter. So he was ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He was ready to go. He had that speech that might have actually been written for a different historical figure.
It was actually for a eulogy.
All right. Yeah. I guess it would have worked. Yeah. Had Mike passed away on the show, that his dad was ready to go with that. Do you want to talk about you mentioned Tyler Perry. Just now. And so there was a lot of talk this week about the survivors and they haven't gotten their swimsuits yet. Did you guys have swimsuits in season 35?
They were given at the merge feast.
Okay. And so that kind of feels like to me.
So
like,
no, I did not have mine.
Yes. But that kind of feels like to me, if you're going to hold them for a while, then I guess then that seems like the latest possible point to be able to give them that. I don't really keep tabs on this. Back in my day, the survivors used to give their swimsuits back to production.
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays people, then they get them later and later in the season. They have not gotten them.
And potentially not at all this time.
They potentially have not gotten them at all. Does this bother you?
I do think it's pretty crappy because, and it's obviously a swimsuit is not more coverage. You're not going to be warmer in a swimsuit, but at least it is something like you always want like something dry to put on. And so like you wash something, you hang it to dry and you like wear your buff as a shirt because that's what's dry. Like everything's on a rotation of like wet and dry, as I'm sure you remember. And as it has been incredibly rainy as it sounds, it has been miserable. It really, really is pretty unfortunate for them that they don't have like an alternative.
Mm-hmm. So this was from it was recirculated by the website Reality Blurred, and actually posted an article about this today. A little bit of looking into what's going on here, and that's from the great Andy Denhart, who has produced this website for many years.
Sure.
And so he ends up citing an article from back in May where Jeff Probst was talking about some ideas that was given to him by the great Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry, of course, the person that he invented the Tyler Perry idol.
In Noted Survivor. Reality television producer Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
So much expertise.
Yes. And so this all comes from this article, which was from Patrick Shanley at The Hollywood Reporter on May 9th, 2018, talking about how Hollywood writers are playing in survivor pools. And Jeff Probst talks about some of these watch parties, and people like Jimmy Fallon and Tyler Perry give him ideas for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the article says here that Tyler Perry, the latter of Jimmy Fallon and Tyler Perry, his idea for filthier swimwear even made it onto the screen. Next season, we're not even going to give them swimming suits at all. Just a sewing kit, jokes Probst, another one of his ideas. So Tyler Perry, the wheels are always turning for more survivor ideas.
Is he a sadist? What is wrong with him? So I don't understand. Why is it better?
Yes.
Why is it better optics to see people in dirty clothes for like it does nothing for the viewer? In my opinion, like there's no.
How dare you, Rourke? That Tyler Perry has brought,
I say no to this man?
Has brought joy to millions of people. What are you saying? He doesn't have good ideas now?
I think that people can have bad ideas about things that they might not be experts in. And I also wonder if, like, do you think Jeff is, like, so dazzled by, like, the star power of people like Tyler Perry and Jimmy Fallon that he's just like, yes.
Yes.
So Beautiful idea.
So you say that Tyler Perry and Jeff Probst sit down for a negotiation and Tyler Perry says, all right, Jeff, let me tell you what. How about I give you my big cooking pot, small cooking pot. I'm going to keep the knife.
Yep.
Give you the swing. And, you know, all the coffee and tea, done. Done deal.
Totally. He's like, actually, you can keep it all.
You are making a lot of sense right now, Tyler Perry.
Yes.
That is a great offer. That is a great offer. And
exactly.
I accept, sir. I accept that in any of your next 100 ideas that you have for Survivor. Please,
exactly.
Please, please keep the idea factory coming. And then after this controversy started to boil up a little bit this week, very loose controversy. Mm-hmm. Here comes off the top rope, the mayor of Slamtown actually weighed in to then, tell Tyler Perry to back down. Not to skip ahead to social media, but John Morrison tweeted, "Hey, at Tyler Perry, just read that you advocated for all of us on S37 of at Survivor CBS to have less clothing. Unhappy emoji. Not sure why your idea was used, ... but next time you want a creepy peep on people, cast them in one of your projects. It was freezing on the island."
Oh my God. There's like plenty of media to creepy peep. I don't think we like need to do that on Survivor.
Wow. John Morrison versus Tyler Perry.
Who do you think would win?
I'm pretty sure John Morrison. I mean, honestly, that I for the most part, I feel like I see Tyler Perry as Madea. So I really don't know necessarily what his physique is like. Maybe if he could go compete on an island in his underwear for 39 days, I feel like I'd have a better sense of what
seriously.
Tyler Perry has going on.
Maybe Tyler Perry to gain some empathy. Maybe he should have to play like Survivor Maryland.
Well, Tyler Perry, he should be forced to, like, contractually, if there is ever a celebrity season of Survivor, Tyler Perry should be forced to play and then have to then live with all of his ideas that he created.
Yes. Do you remember I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That was great.
Which one did you like? Did you like the first version or the second version?
I liked the Spencer Pratt version.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That was like the reboot of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They did like the first one like a long time ago. And they're like, hey, let's bring this back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring this back. Okay. All right. Rourke, let's see. What else do we need to talk about? Okay. This is one that we got. And tell me if Jonathan from Sydney, if you like what he's talking about here. Here's Jonathan.
I like Sydney.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Rourke. It's Jonathan from Sydney. Rourke, ever since you mentioned on the RHAP B&B that Davey has a similar cadence to Kenneth on 30 Rock, I haven't been able to not notice it. I was just wondering whether or not you thought there were any other characters on this season or previous seasons that have a similar speaking pattern to other similar sitcoms. Thanks. Love your work.
Specific. Okay. Rourke, I had not heard this, and you had said that Davey from Survivor, you feel like has a similar cadence to Kenneth,
yes.
The bellhop from 30 Rock?
He's not a bellhop. Page.
Page. Sorry. I apologize.
That's,
I don't
Ryan,
mean...
don't usurp.
So, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm pleased. Please. The hell, he's never going to come on the podcast now. Okay. Sorry about that. Full apologies to Ryan Ulrich.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Not Ulrich.
No.
All right. So now, Rourke, why Kenneth from 30 Rock?
There just is, it's like the lilt, they don't have the same voice, but it's just the speaking pattern. Like, do you know like Nathan For You, Nathan Fielder?
Yes.
Okay. So he obviously has a very distinct style of speaking, right? Like just super deadpan, very even keel, slow. And then, so you can like categorize people's voices. And I just think that they have a very similar way of speaking. They have mannerisms. They have similar like vocal mannerisms, whatever that whatever word that is.
Okay. So first, I guess let's listen to Davey.
Okay.
Okay. Here is Davey. This is a secret
scene.
You're
going to trick me. It's actually going to be Kenneth, isn't it?
Yes.
It's so on point, the comparison.
Okay. All right. This is the real Davey, not Kenneth. Okay. Here is Davey. Secret scene called Survivor David versus Goliath. Davey, I'm ready to go all in.
Decided for Christian, and me, Nick, and Christian are going to vote for John. Gabby and Carl are going to vote for Angelina.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So that was Davey. We all know Davey. Okay. So here is a clip of Kenneth from 30 Rock as played by Jack McBrayer in the hit NBC show 30 Rock.
They can't make
You're
the
such
comparison.
A pessimist.
Though.
You know what my motto is? Everything always works out for the best. Watch this. I just threw my wallet out the window, but I'm not worried. Why? Because everything always works out for the best.
All right. How do you feel, Rourke?
I still stand by this.
You stand by it?
Yeah.
I don't hear it yet.
It's the same, like.
They Let me
go
see.
Up, they emphasize, like they...
Well, the fact of the matter is we can't do Dan. Dan has the necklace. We were kind of rooting for Angelina to win, but she just couldn't pull it in. And we can't vote for Dan. So the next best option...
So you're saying not his voice, but his cadence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like where they place emphasis, where they like go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a very specific comment.
Okay. But Jonathan from Sydney, he is all in.
He's on board. And
can
I
you
appreciate
give us,
it.
What do you want to do? You want to cast the rest of 30 Rock or do you want to give us other?
I don't want to go too deep into this, but I do want to say that there's a great episode about negotiation in 30 Rock.
Yes.
Where Liz has to negotiate with Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember exactly what, like, why she needs to negotiate it, but he has obviously written a book and published an instructional video negotiation.
He too loves negotiation.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
And it's like negotiating the Jack Donaghy way or something.
Yes.
And it's
during my course
so
of
good.
Study when I was getting my MBA at Yale. There is a required negotiations class, and I loved it so much that I actually elected to take advanced negotiations. And so it's an area that I just love to do. It's fun to me.
Yes, Lemon, I know everything about negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
I know about jacket negotiation. I know about jury negotiation. I know about rice negotiation, Lemon.
The best. So she obviously gets her hands on the tape,
mm-hmm.
and like tries to use all his strategies against him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best ones, and this is when Angelina could not fulfill this one. It's like negotiate on your turf.
Mm-hmm.
And she was negotiating on Jeff's turf.
So when the survivors get Jeff to come to their camp.
Yes.
That would be a move.
That's a power move.
That's a better negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
All right. Because Jeff, I guess, has access to all of the stuff there then.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like then he could like, I remember in San Juan del Sur, I remember him like pulling everything away.
No. Dragging it like a Sherpa.
Yeah.
It's great.
Dragging it. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
We have to compare who would win in a debate between Angelina and Jack Donaghy.
Oh, Jack Donaghy for sure. He always wins. He's undefeatable. But no, they end up negotiating in a frozen yogurt shop.
Yes,
that's territory.
That's Liz's turn. That's Liz's turf.
Yeah.
Okay, Rourke. I have one other question for you from the voicemail inbox. Let me play you this one from Jess, who has a question for you.
Hey, Robin Rourke. It's Jessica from upstate New York. Since The Bachelor will be premiering soon with quite the controversial lead, I want to know who Rourke thinks would make a better Bachelor from this season of Survivor. Bonus points if she can also give me a lead for The Bachelorette. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Rourke, first, tell me about why is there controversy over the new Bachelor?
So it's a guy named Colton who...
That had walked off of Survivor two different times and that's why it's a controversy?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so he was
on... People should give him another chance.
Just one more, though.
Yes. He's a nice guy.
He's burned up the other chances.
He was a young guy. He's learned a lot.
So I think a lot of the objection to this guy is that he's been on our screens for a really long time. He was on Becca's, he was a contestant on a recent season of The Bachelorette, obviously.
But he's not involved in like a scandal.
He's a virgin. And I don't know if that's considered a scandal, but like it overshadows a lot of everything. And so like the previews, the women, it's going to be, the casting is just going to be like, the women are going to be divided like into the like fellow virgins and then like the ones who are like trying to tempt him, and it's going to be a whole thing.
Wait, that's how they're going to break up the season of that he is going to have sort of the house with this is the fellow virgin house and these are the temptresses that are trying to seduce this young man.
I don't think they'll house them separately, okay. But I do think
they can
like,
all live, they'll let them live, yeah, all in the house.
They'll let them live together. They can coexist. But I do think I'm sure the casting strategy was to have sort of those two polarities, and then I'm sure that the woman who he chooses will be from the middle. But
from what's the middle?
Like normal behavior.
Okay. Do they have a house for that?
No, there's no space for that in reality television, actually.
Okay. All right. So I don't even remember what the question was. Oh, yeah.
It was,
so,
yes, who's our bachelor be?
Too distracted with Colt and the Virgin. Okay.
I mean, in terms of the Bachelor picking people that may be objectionable, I think Dan is an option.
Dan. So Dan, that he would be a good Bachelor. Would Dan fit the archetype of what the Bachelor classically looks for?
Yeah.
Yes.
But for not, this is not a compliment.
He's almost miscast on Survivor.
Yes.
He almost like belonged in the ABC reality world.
Yes, exactly.
Where that he has a story, he comes in, he's hot cop.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he was almost like that he got on the wrong line.
Yeah, definitely. No, he got in there were two like open calls at the same Marriott and he like went to the wrong conference room.
Yes. That's from my favorite poem of the reality show Path Not Taken.
Less Taken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I actually think somebody who so obviously the social media and the finale situation have overshadowed a lot of his time, but I actually really liked Alec.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's cute. He would like
Do they have like a surfer bro on the
Yeah, they've never had a lead be that type, but they'd bring him on as a contestant.
Yeah. So he could be on The Bachelorette, but he couldn't hold the franchise. He doesn't have the gravitas for that.
No, he I
not
guess,
like Dan.
He's not like Dan, a leading man. No, but I think Alec actually looks a lot like did you watch The League?
Yes.
I think he looks a lot like Steve Ranazzisi.
Okay.
Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah, I have to go and you have to show me photos after.
Okay. That one's good. It's the thick hair and the short forehead. Okay. Anyway.
Yes.
I think that Bachelorette, I just feel like you got to give it to Kara because she's sort of the Andrea Jessica type.
Okay. So Kara, can hold the franchise. She could be the Bachelorette.
Yes. I think she is sweet. She's well-spoken. I actually think that her confessionals, they could even repurpose them. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to be told what to do. I'm going to choose my own man.
Yes.
So I think that, and also she's already had to make a choice between Dan and Alec. And so she is experienced in letting people down and choosing.
Yes. And now Rourke, one of your areas of study is in property law. Is that right?
Property is one of my first year courses. Yes.
Yes. Okay. And so that Kara talked about a tribal council.
Yeah.
So many metaphors.
Oh, she did talk about real estate.
She did. She said, when the lines are blurred and people are working together. And she says, hey, I know from real estate, when we talk about a deal, it's not until I get those signatures on the contract, that deal is not, that is not a, does not a deal make.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, have you found that to be true in your course of study?
I would say that this is actually contract law.
Yes. Okay.
Less of property.
Even if it's for real estate, it's still contract law, not property law.
It's at the intersection.
At the intersection of property law and contract law, you'll find Kay and Luskin working for you, your real estate and property
needs,
yes, right?
Exactly. I mean, she's technically like, We are so off the reservation here. She's technically wrong. If somebody starts performance, you can't revoke the offer.
Oh, anyway. So now you do know what you're talking about.
No, that's like a specific rule about option contracts by part performance, but we don't need to go there. These are thoughts only I need to have right now.
Okay. Okay. As somebody who's studying law, is that more further reason why you feel good about Nick Wilson as a public defender?
I think he will. So technically, Yul is a lawyer.
Yes. No, I got a lot of, I was going to say hate, but I'll say heat. Okay. You know, that you can rearrange the letters as you choose. It's a, is that an anagram? I have to ask Carl and Davey.
Yeah, it's an anagram.
Okay. It's not like perspectives, perception, but I guess it's exactly the same. Either way, I digress. Should Carl have won that immunity challenge?
Oh man. I mean, I think it was the game is flawed.
The game is flawed.
Yeah.
Now that somebody had called in and left a message about like, should Jeff had said that we're looking for a specific word, that there is a line that Jeff does say as the competition, we're like, well, we're looking for a specific word.
I wonder if that was ADR.
I don't know. But he did. They did say that after the, fact.
So again, I go back to the challenge where like, there's so much.
The MTV challenge.
MTV's the challenge. Yes. I'm sorry. Not the challenge within the Survivor episode. Allie and Brian talk about it all the time on their podcast, where it's like MTV just seems to be making up the rules and we accept it. Where it's like,
sure.
When they announce the winner, it's like, and she had the best time. They've never shown us the clock. They could have made that up.
Right.
And so, you know, it felt. And Survivor has always felt better than that. And so I think it was very unsatisfying that I wonder if they didn't know or like they didn't run all the letters into like a Scrabble cheat website. But no, it's undeniably crappy. I don't know if it's technically unfair or what, but it's crappy.
Okay. All right, we're going to get into our Survivor social media. Got some good stuff to talk about this week. But before we get to that, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor here. And those are our friends over at Blue Apron. Rourke, do you like to cook?
I love to cook. I use it as procrastination and stress relief.
Oh, the cooking.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, so many benefits of cooking because Blue Apron delivers farm fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And now, again, some people negotiate and give away all their kitchen supplies. You will need some stuff in your kitchen, but not that much, nothing that you don't have, because you choose your chef design recipes and Blue Apron delivers fresh, seasonally inspired ingredients, and you can cook incredible meals in as little as 20 minutes. Let Blue Apron do the meal prep for you. Dinner in as little as 20 minutes every week, at least three recipes built with your busy schedule in mind. Where Blue Apron, they've done the meal prep for you. They've prepared the sauces, the spices, and the ingredients, and with quick and easy recipe options and insanely delicious flavors, perfectly proportioned ingredients delivered right to your door. Skip the meal planning and get straight to cooking with Blue Apron. And forget about that grocery list and let Blue Apron do the meal prep for you. The grocery store, especially this time of year, it's jam-packed.
I can never get a parking space. It's a very taxing experience.
Yeah. I get too distracted in there. Blue Apron, you can skip the long line and they make it a special night when you cook with Blue Apron. Whether you're looking for quick and easy meals or a full culinary cooking experience, Blue Apron lets you choose from a range of recipe options, chef design recipes, and restaurant quality meals. So check out this week's Blue Apron menu and you can get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/Rob. That's blueapron.com/Rob to get your first three meals for free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. I'll tell you, the survivors, they might have wished they had some Blue Apron after they went to that wrap and salad reward. It did not agree with the survivors. They were overeating.
Yeah, that was also sort of a bad looking reward. I don't know.
Wraps? That's not what people really
looked
wanted.
Looked a little anemic.
Yeah. How many wraps did you eat?
Freaking six.
Oh my God, I'm so fat.
I was like leaning away from you because I thought you were going to play the puke noise, and I really don't
no,
like it.
No, I didn't. I'm not going to play that. People don't want to hear that. I think they do want to hear Mike White.
Oh my God, I'm so fat.
I loved also Allison just like crippled over. Is she doing yoga? That was good.
Yeah. Let me just play another quick clip before we go to the voicemails or the social media. This was from Alec talking about how, you know, on that reward that that he was looking at Gabby and Christian a different way, and that his work experience had prepared him for this moment.
When I'm bartending and I'm flirting with a girl, I'm working for the tip.
He's working for the tip, and he's trying to make as much money from these attractive women that come into his bar.
Of course,
he's working for how many different angles is he working? This guy, that's how he's got good at Survivor. He's working on phone numbers, trying to get money from them.
Mm-hmm. He's a busy man.
This is like a huge operation.
Well, they love bartenders for that reason.
Who does Survivor?
Yeah,
Survivor does.
Yeah.
Yeah, these women are out there giving big tips to the guys working the bar.
I mean, that's not how I decide my tipping.
Yeah,
but people are irrational, so go for it.
I mean, this is like the paradigm has shifted so much of that. There, so these women are out at the bar, and mm-hmm. then it's like, hey, there's a cute bartender. I'm going to give him all my money and my phone number.
No. It's one or the other.
It's one or the other, right? Yeah. So I don't know. Alec was playing too hard here.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So if you're bartending, you're either working for, hey, I like this woman, I'm hoping to get her phone number, or I'm hoping to. Is it almost too much if a woman gives you here's $100 and my phone number?
That's embarrassing.
Yes,
Who is this woman?
She needs to go to advanced negotiations class.
Oh, therapy first.
All right.
Stop it, brother.
Okay.
I will say I liked the analogy. I liked the idea though, where it's like, he's giving these people attention to get.
Yes.
That's a good, I understand what he was, I think the heart of what he was saying was accurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, one other thing before we get to talking about social media. Christian also got a note from his dad in the episode. And so this is Christian talking about the advice he got from his dad.
I am writing to my son who has achieved one of his goals, to play the game Survivor. Great job.
My dad said, hey, find an idol, win a big feast, make Jeff laugh. I think I got all three of those things already.
Okay. All right. Two things for me. One, it sounds like that his dad is Casey Kasem in this.
I am writing to my son who has achieved one of his goals, to play the game Survivor. Great job.
Hey, I'm writing to my son who's playing Survivor. Great job.
Great job. But how am I supposed to come in off of a dead dog story?
Yeah. So, all right. Can you give a wish list for your future offspring who's on Survivor in a letter? Can you give a wish list? This was Christian's wish list, or Christian's dad's wish list for Christian.
My dad said, hey, find an idol, win a big feast, make Jeff laugh.
Okay.
Okay.
So find an idol, win a big feast, make Jeff laugh.
Okay. I would say do better than mommy.
Do better than
I would say
negotiate for more food.
Yeah. No, I would say throw a challenge.
Throw a challenge. Yeah, that's a good one. Live your best life.
Exactly. And
say you're going for a walk with extreme diarrhea.
Please just don't talk about that.
Don't talk about that.
Yeah. And I would say actually don't overeat.
Don't overeat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't overeat. One's the most practical.
Very practical advice. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on in the Survivor social media. And here is our friend, Jacob, not Derwin.
Survivor tweets. They're better than this one time I was in a hydroponics laboratory and I had to do robotic server mechanism. Rubin sandwich optimization. Tweets.
Oh my God.
Yes. Are you a fan of the Rubin sandwich?
I do like, yeah, I do. Yeah, I like a rye bread and stuff. Yeah.
I was a fan of Ruben Studdard, and I once had a bet with Jenna Maraska for $100 of who was going to win American Idol season 2.
Yeah.
And I was team Ruben, and she was team Clay. And that Ruben won, and she paid up. She sent me $100 in the mail.
Did you bet on his political run?
Clay Aiken?
Yeah.
No. That's too bad. No. But I actually thought that he had a good shot to win the Celebrity Apprentice once upon a time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a busy man.
he is a busy man. And so, but Ruben Studdard is not.
No.
Ruben Studdard is not a busy man. Yeah. And so I feel like that I won the battle, but lost the war.
Definitely.
With Ruben Studdard versus Clay. Although, I mean, Clay's not doing that much. Maybe a Celebrity Big Brother could be in the run, in the offing for Clay Aiken. Are you a Claymate?
No.
No?
There was somebody good season 2 who went early.
In season 2 of American Idol?
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, this is a really long time ago.
This is a bad idea.
I'm sure there was. It's probably a lot of good people.
Was that the Jennifer Hudson season?
No, I believe that was American Idol season 4.
Okay,
if I had
all right,
to.
All right.
I used to be very, very into the American Idol.
Somebody can fact check this.
Yes, I think that probably after American Idol 5 or 6, I think I was out. But you know, American Idol was a juggernaut. You know, at one point, and of the many shows that it came along, it was like Survivor was competing with American Idol, and you know, the American Idol was, you know, the for a few years, like really blowing Survivor out of the water. And
we showed them.
Yeah. Survivor's still here. Where's American Idol?
I mean, it spawned into The Voice and The X Factor and everything
okay,
else.
Okay, sure. All right. But they didn't take care of the franchise.
No, you know, they did not.
Okay. All right. So many different things from social media to get into.
This is where it's at.
Yes. This was a good week. I know I have some. You had some tweets that you pulled yourself. What do you want? You want to trade off? You want to talk about the headlines?
Should we go like tweet for tweet?
Sure. Let's go tweet. So nobody has ever come in with their own tweets before for Survivor social media.
Luckily, I have good friends who aggregate stuff for me.
Yes, and that's perfect. Yeah. So that's sort of like the cream has risen to the top.
It has.
Okay. All right. Do you want to start?
No.
Okay.
I think I have fewer, so.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay. Let me give you some of T-Bird tweets.
Oh, boy.
Okay. T-Bird tweeted out, numbers thinning, a good time to be thinking about who you need out and who you need to be sitting with at the end. At Gabs Goosey, at Angela Cordone, at Angela. She put all of the survivors on one tweet.
I mean, it's good to tag them.
Yes.
No, it's bad. Don't do it.
No, well, I think that it's not, that is the first time ever that all the survivors have been tagged in a nice tweet.
That's never happened
before.
Also, I don't know. That's like, can you even call that a nice tweet? This is like a piece of advice.
Yeah.
Piece of advice.
Okay. let's, all right. What do you have?
Okay. I have a dialogue between my favorite, Joe Mina.
Yes.
And Christian.
Okay. Joe Mina and, or is it Mena? What do you say? This is like one of these that are in my head now.
Oh, I never even thought of that. I've always said Mina.
Okay. I feel like in my head it was corrected to Mena, but I don't know.
You probably are right. I don't think I've ever said his last name to him.
You know, this is like one of the old Kalish things where it's like, I know the right, like I've been corrected and then I'm sort of like, okay, it's this, don't say this, but both are sort of like floating in my head and sort of like, you know, that picture of like the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other, which is the one that should be out of there.
Yes.
I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
So Joe tweets, call me crazy. Besides Davey and Nick, no one has really done much, parenthesis, from the remaining group, close parenthesis.
Okay, so nobody has really done much that's left in the game, according to Joe.
Mm-hmm. Christian seems to have taken umbrage with this and replies. And also, this is a long thread because I see that Christian is replying to Joe, Johnny Fairplay, and seven others. So okay. I do not know who else is on this tweet, but it's a group.
Okay, a group tweet talking about Survivor. Okay, so this is a mastermind group.
Yes, so Christian replies, I mean, it's hard to tell when they cut stuff from the show. But at Tribal, I had this whole crazy idol play where I called myself Lady Liberty and held my idol aloft like a torch as I handed it to Jeff. Disappointed that didn't make air.
Callback.
Yes.
Callback to Heroes versus Hustlers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, it also, I love also just like the Joe's tweet. It reveals like what's important to him,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I think a reason Joe like loved Ben is because Ben played the game that like Joe wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
It was like in your face. It was idol heavy. It was loud. It was clear. Exactly. And so I so completely understand why Joe tweeted this. And I just like Christian's subtle shade.
Okay. Now, Joe wasn't the only healer tribe member who was tweeting about this episode, right?
Correct.
Yes. So what else do you have?
So his counterpart,
his fellow coconut.
Yeah. Dr. Mike was also active.
Yeah.
All right. Here, well, let me give you the Twitter. All right,
let me give you the Dr. Mike tweet, if I may, because okay. he was very impressed with one of the survivors. He said, hot take?
Question mark.
If at Angelina Cordona makes it to the end and does not win, ... She is as robbed as Russell Hance. # Survivor. So either this was a pretty brown nosy tweet to Angela Cardona and Russell Hance,
mm-hmm.
or this was a really shady tweet to Angela Cardona and Russell Hance.
So,
because if you could be as robbed as Russell Hance, it depends really on what your baseline feeling is about Russell Hance.
Thank you. I am so glad you framed it that way, because what's amazing to me about this argument is that it rests on the premise that you think Russell Hance was robbed.
Yeah.
And like, that's that, which is, In my opinion, in the Survivor community, known as one of the worst takes of all. Like,
I said it was a hot take.
No, this is like an H-bomb take. Like, this doesn't count. This is so absurd and bad.
Mic bomb.
Oh, my God.
So it was a hot take.
Yeah.
It was such a hot take from burning
us catching fire and like fleeing.
That was Mike being stung by a wasp.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right. Do you want to touch on that? So he mentions Angelina. Angelina, of course, she has been responding to a lot of what's been going on in terms mm-hmm. of the negotiations talk. She had some long responses about people that said it was a bad negotiation, and mm-hmm. she is also serving up fire
yeah.
in response to people on that front. But then also she has had some issues with the Survivor social media account, the Survivor Twitter account itself.
Yeah, the Survivor Twitter account seems to be run by a lunatic.
Yes, you're down on the Survivor Twitter account.
Definitely.
Yes. Okay. So the Survivor Twitter account likes to ask questions mm-hmm. and engage with the audience.
I believe that's a, you know, corporate tactic.
Yes. And Survivor asked the question, what do you think about the negotiate with the picture of Angelina, Miss Negotiation or Miss Bossy, and then the emoji for pants, # Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina did not care for this.
Mm-hmm.
She tweeted, who runs this account? ? Because the framing of your question is straight up sexist. @ Survivor CBS, @ Jeff Probst, @ Matt Van Wagnen. Did not care for it. Okay.
Yeah, she's bringing in the big guys.
She's
@ Tyler Perry.
Yeah, @ Tyler Perry. Yeah, so they should throw Tyler Perry under the bus. Like, oh, sorry, this tweet was Tyler Perry's idea.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Okay. Rourke, what do you feel about that? Is Angelina have a good point?
So I definitely think, I don't know. The benign way to phrase that question is like, what do you think? Good idea or bad idea? Mm-hmm. Like that's obviously a very not sexist way to ask the question. I think that it's definitely gross.
Like, gross. Gross.
I would also say that this in isolation didn't like fully throw me off, but then adding the, and I know we'll talk about it, but adding the Gabby tweet to it, like those two together, mm-hmm. it makes me like be like, oh, now I have to go back and reevaluate the Angelina one.
Yeah.
And be like that. No.
So my question on the line with this, so hypothetically, let's say this was, you know, Carl or Davey or Nick goes into has the same yes. exact scene. Would the same tweet apply? Where what did you think of Mr. Negotiation or Mr. Bossy
Mr.
Pants?
CEO? Like it would be like.
is that what you think it would be?
So I think that's what Angelina would argue it is, that like if a man did this, it would be like. Is he like Mr. CEO or Mr. CFO? Like, yes. Like really high ranking, awesome things.
Yeah. So, I guess the question is, if it was treated the same exact way, would the response be exactly the same?
And I mean, I actually think so. I also don't think what is also weird about that tweet is that a negotiation isn't bossy. And to be fair, she did seem to get buy-in from people. Mm-hmm. She stepped out of the, to her credit, she stepped out of the challenge mm-hmm. herself. She didn't demand somebody else do it to facilitate her negotiation. And so I do think that she has been bossy and this was not an example of it. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to call her that, then do it at a different time.
Yeah, I would say actually the negotiation probably was not bossy. That
yeah,
she sort of
she's bossy.
She actually, you know, between this and the negotiation for the jacket, I thought they were actually very like passive in terms of like if that's okay with you, can I have your jacket, Natalie? Do you think I might mm-hmm. be able to have your jacket, Jeff? If this offer is not okay to you, let me know and we'll take it back. But this is a starting point, definitely. So yeah, probably. Bossy was not the right. It's not the right word.
It's not the right word.
Okay. But that was not the only tweet that came from Survivor this week.
Correct.
To also then, because again, we talk about the Survivor social media account. You know, mixing it up, engaging with the audience. They have a lot of polls they like to run. They send a lot of polls out. They tweeted out, "What would you be most excited to eat at a picnic? Fresh wraps, tasty salads, or chilled wine?" So 1,152 people.
Chilled wine. I'm going with chilled wine.
No, fresh wraps.
Oh,
even after everybody
so wrong.
Was throwing up after that. So people wanted wraps. So the polling is happening. And so we have another poll from the other night. Okay. I wish Gabby would ... be more included, stop crying, or don't care.
Like, you don't have to create three options. Like, leave that one out. This is your choice, Twitter.
I will say 13% of the 2,382 people that voted said, don't care. Why are you voting?
Why are you voting then?
Why are you voting about this?
Keep scrolling through your feed.
Yeah. Okay. I wish Gabby would. So 70% of people said stop crying. And Angelina also did not love this tweet. And I believe she responded to this one with, really?
Yeah. This is rude. It's like legitimately rude. And I think that... if you're going to go with polling, there are viable things to poll. Like, I think Gabby should stick with the Davids.
Mm-hmm.
Like there, you know, there are legitimate questions about her strategy or like go with her heart and her friend Allison. You know, like there's a way to connect this to the show without like
mm-hmm.
lambasting her vulnerabilities.
So I can't tell at what point this was in terms of
what's the timestamp,
is this a tweet in particular that does not age well, where on a night where Gabby makes her biggest move of the game, is this tweet sent at the exact moment she's crying on the screen, and so is it sort of in that moment I wish Gabby would stop crying, as opposed to that is all Gabby does is cry, because now it's like the episode was 5 days ago, and then she goes on in the second hour of the episode to have like an extremely, I don't think she cried at all in the second hour.
Agreed.
And she was, really precise in talking about, as a technical writer, I take all this information, and I thought she had like some really great points in terms of like framing what she was doing. But in the first hour, she was, she had a few moments where she was crying about, being left out, and then also in the challenge as well. So in terms of where you've just seen her cry twice in 10 minutes on the show, is it not as bad, or should this not even be out there?
I stick with it being as bad, no matter the time that it happened, because I think that it just doesn't have to do with anything. In the sense that, like, the two options, so like, I'm just going to ignore it, don't care, because that's just ridiculous. But if you look at the two options, the first two options, it's like, let this poor bullied girl play with the team, or
so the first option is bad too.
Yeah. I think both are bad. It's like, oh, let her in. Like, and then the other one is get over it. Stop crying. And so, and just like both of those are not like, it would be one thing if it was a poll about a character. Like, this is a poll about a person, like a real person who's not trying to be anyone else. And I think that it's one thing also to, like, I would also like the context of it being the show that you're on, I think is relevant. Like, this isn't just some, like, nasty fan that's, like, a little bit rude. This is, like, the corporate thing that you're doing. That has to, the power structure there has to be a factor.
Right. And so people also shouldn't waste their wishes on Gabby's emotions, right? If you have a wish, you shouldn't, even be worried about what.
Yeah, at 11:11, you don't need to wish that Gabby is more included in the tribe. She's doing just fine.
Yeah, I'm looking at Gabby's Twitter tweet. We have a breaking. Gabby actually responded to that tweet in particular. She retweeted it. Awesome tweet. Yeah.
I will say I really don't like savage corporate Twitter.
So the Wendy's Twitter,
I don't find that funny.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. I think it is such a gimmick. I really don't like it.
You don't like it? Anything in particular about it?
I don't think, I think like when it's like you're, it's the meme of Steve Buscemi being like, hey kid, I'm a regular kid. And like, it's your dad is trying to integrate Facebook into a conversation and calling it the Facebook, you know, it's just like trying to pick up on millennials or whatever and repurpose it in a genuine way is really, really hard. And
right.
Like, just don't try, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, why can't we go back 10 years ago? You would go on Twitter and Wendy's would give you a coupon for 10% off for following them. Now, oh, Wendy's just called me a little bitch.
Exactly.
Isn't this cool?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Real brand loyalty building.
I guess so. I guess I should go get lunch there, or I don't want to see what they're going to say about me tomorrow.
Exactly.
Being bullied by Wendy's on social media.
Yes.
Is it like, should Gabby maybe be that Survivor is roasting her?
I still don't think that's appropriate.
Should Gabby and Angelina be a roast that I'm, this is so,
but like a roast is a consensual process, like you know what you're getting
not
into.
Not always.
But then that's just an insult. Like, that's not the same.
But Gabby on Twitter tweeted, all caps, Carl changed his Twitter handle to @GodfatherCarl. I cannot handle this.
That's funny.
I bet now. He changed his Twitter handle and she cannot handle this. So I don't know if that was an intentional play on words. Hashtag Bing. Now, Godfather Carl actually is actually a huge, because I get on people for, you know, the, and you have a great Twitter handle, @RourkesTweets.
Yes.
Very good. Very memorable.
Thank you.
And so that's really the baseline for me. Can I remember it without having to, okay, what is this? Okay. And so really, really good. And great. @GodfatherCarl, way better than what he used to be, which was @CEEZS. So C's. I don't even know where that comes from.
That's very bad.
So big upgrade for Carl. For Godfather Carl.
Good for him.
So good job there. Yeah, Survivor.
That's a success.
Yeah, hey, what's a better Twitter handle for Carl? @CEEZS or @GodfatherCarl? That's a good Twitter poll for
that is a good poll.
For the Survivor Twitter account. Yeah, so we could crowdsource some new Twitter polls for Survivor Twitter.
I think crowdsourcing is a bad mechanism. I think that typically people don't know what they want.
Okay. Does it?
That's a bigger thesis.
Bryce Isaiah, who I'm very happy to report, will be on the feedback show next week.
Excellent. He's
very excited.
Fun. Yeah.
Very excited to talk to Bryce coming up next week. Tyson will be my guest on the recap. He tweeted, y'all know the letters got my heart. #Survivor David versus Glass. So he's in a good mood until he says, if that potato salad has raisins or grapes, I'm done.
It's got strong opinions on fruit in his chicken salad.
Yes. No, a potato salad. Potato salad has raisins or grapes. Then I wouldn't mind a raisin in a chicken salad.
Yeah, I was going to say those things are appropriate in chicken salad. Yeah, I think they would be weird in potato salad.
Yes, that would be good.
Just
okay,
like what, chives and stuff, right?
What else you got?
I've got the and this gets to a larger question of sitting out of a challenge for food.
Okay.
So
all right.
Some previous survivors had some opinions on this, as you might expect.
Yes, I got into this a little bit with James Lim the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were playing something.
No.
Okay. So Eliza tweeted, and I presume she's screaming.
Well, this is a sore subject with Eliza, and any time a survivor has sat out of a challenge in the last 15 years, Eliza has been very vocal about this.
Okay. Yeah, so this is written in all caps. I'm not going to yell, but I'm assuming that's how it is to be taken. I hope Angelina, Carl, or Nick go home tonight. If you choose to sit out of a challenge, you deserve to lose. #Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the original tweet.
She's a competitor.
Yes. And then just to like, for completeness.
Yes.
Corinne quote tweets it. It qualifies by saying, I'm not watching the show this season, but I agree 10,000%. There's literally no circumstance where I would sit out. None.
Okay.
Our good friend Joe.
Yes, Joe Manna.
Joe M.
On fire.
Joe M. I'm not going to go further.
Joe M.
Joe M. replies, says, super big facts. Won't get my vote. And then, this is the button. Our good friend Ryan chimes in and says, Ben sat out of a challenge for peanut butter and chocolate, and you voted for him. Big facts. Tilted laugh cry emoji, tilted laugh cry emoji, kissing face emoji, kissing face emoji. So I just, that's like a full circle of tweets. It's great.
Yes. Boy, Ryan Ulrich, he could be running the Wendy's Twitter account.
I was going to say, maybe they should give Survivor CBS @SurvivorCBS to Ryan.
Yeah, well, no, he's burning people. We're saying that we don't like that. We need to give the Survivor CBS account to T-Bird.
See, though, it's perfectly legitimate to come back at somebody with a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if I told you that Survivor tweeted out fantastic #, I tweet Davey scoring the winning basket #, reward challenge. I do love me some fried chicken. Remember @JeffProbst #Survivor. Like, that would be a fine corporate tweet,
right? Was there a grammar? Where was a punctuation mark?
What is a hashtag sacrifice with no risk? Hashtag survivor. This just keeps getting better. At Jeff Probst, I love this gutsy move. At Angelina Cardone. Nobody would have a problem with any of these tweets.
I would have a problem.
Nobody would be
syntax
flaming these tweets. So I think that T-Bird is being underutilized by Survivor.
That's entirely possible.
I think that this would be a good spot.
You know, just give her the password and I'm sure it'll all be fine.
it will be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We've talked about so much. Anything else from this week in Survivor? Anything else that you wanted to get into?
I mean, I really think we've hit the big notes.
Okay. All right.
We've been here for a while.
I know. Sorry. I know you have to get back to studying. It's a birthday weekend.
It's okay. The birthday's over.
Birthday's over. What, you don't do a birthday weekend?
No.
My wife celebrates a birthday month.
No, I'm pretty birthday low-key.
Birthday low-key. Yeah. Okay, that's the way to do it.
Thank you.
That's the way to do it. What'd you think of those nachos this week?
Those looked disgusting. Anything, I also think food in large quantities looks gross. Like, just no matter what. And so if you want something to look good, like, just do a little of it.
A little bit. So you feel like that Survivor should have a reward challenge where it's like some apps.
We do things differently at this challenge. We're actually we're a farm to table challenge, and it's going to be some tapas. We recommend 3 to 11 per person, whatever is right.
Nobody's getting sick. Looks so good.
Yeah,
yeah. So I think that might be the way to go on Survivor.
Maybe give Christian a macaron. Those are very petite. Those look good on camera.
Yes. He would like those. Yeah. A Reuben sandwich, I think, would be a hit on a reward as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Double episode. Hope we got everything in there. Rourke, this was so nice to have you back here in the studio talking about everything.
Thank you for having me.
You feel like Nick Wilson is going to be the next Survivor winner.
He's my winner pick.
It's your winner pick. Who's going home on Wednesday?
Who's going home on Wednesday? That's tough. I don't think it's going to be Christian. You know, I could actually see like a surprise, Mike White boot.
Surprise Mike White boot.
Yeah. Just because he's sort of floating, I could see the Davids trying to get back the numbers after that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just a guess.
Yeah.
I have no basis of fact. I don't really know. Or think that.
I think that it's going to be either one of the three of the, and I talked about them last week as the top three to win. And now I've completely turned around. I think it's going to be Davey, Nick, or Christian. And, wow. and two of those three guys have idols.
All right.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, how come your pinned tweet is peace out, Twitter. So what, but you're back on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
You're not? Oh, you retweet stuff on Twitter.
A friend of mine from childhood has my password. And so I'll tell her, I text her and I'm like, hey, just like, will you retweet this thing that I did?
So you have a concierge. That handles your Twitter.
Yeah.
but you have checked out, you have left Twitter.
I have.
Okay. How is it? How's it on the other side?
I feel so free.
It's so good.
It's so good. Twitter is the worst place.
Yes. What is? Do you feel now? I know you study psychology. Is that coming from a humankind standpoint, or for you personally, Twitter is the worst?
I think it's the worst for everyone.
For everybody.
Like, yeah, I really do.
Why?
I think that people's like worst selves come out on Twitter.
Yes.
Like, I think if you think. Like, for example, I'll watch a movie and have a thought that I think is funny. And of course, I'm like, oh, I should put that on Twitter. That's such a funny thought. I should get a like for it. But then I'm like, wait, that's actually a really mean thought. It's only like you only ever tweet when you have a critique. You only like no mm-hmm. one's sending out like love and positivity on Twitter.
Love and light.
It's just not a good place for anybody's mental health. And I just decided, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. I was describing social media the other day that I was talking about. I think that Nicole saw somebody get into a car accident and saw a woman just like screaming mad in like the middle of like public, like just like eviscerating people. And I kind of, that's like what social media is. It's like bumper cars where everybody mm-hmm. is just like bumping into each other. And you don't know if somebody's had a bad day, somebody's going through a divorce, somebody hasn't been a sleep in 3 days, and then you just have like a little, like a, you know, a fender bender with somebody, and they go nuts, and then the whole thing is just can be very very toxic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, what happens with, like, think about if, like, if you cut off somebody in traffic, it's always because, like, oh my God, like, I just almost missed my exit. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, you in your head have this long story for why that was a necessary move. If somebody cuts you off in traffic, they're an
asshole.
Look at
these idiots on the road.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're just very quick to excuse ourselves, but blame others. And it's not.
And that's why, you know, I really, but I understand people have negative feedback. And that's why I tell them, you know, feel free to tweet me at pineappleboy27. And then I go through all of it with a fine tooth comb and love to, so that's where you can reach
me. With the
negative feedback. I have separate Twitter. That's why I funneled
like the separate
them.
Houses.
Right. So that but all of the negative feedback goes directly to me at pineappleboy27.
Sure. I should have opened with this, that, you know, feel free to at me, because I will never see it. So just like tweet whatever you want about this podcast.
What is it? You have a cousin or a childhood friend?
Childhood friend.
Childhood friend. Will your childhood friend tell you, Rourke, really, you're getting some negative feedback here? Like, do you, like, because I kind of feel like if somebody was like presenting the negative feedback to me of like, I was like, Rob, I want to sit down for this. We're getting some negative tweets about this.
She won't go on my account unless I ask her. Like, she's not like actively monitoring my account. Mm-hmm. So I could be like, hey, Lauren, like, do this for me. Mm-hmm. But she's not going to like check it now and let me know when bad things are coming through.
Do you have any advice for people who are still out there on the Twitter?
Delete it.
Everybody should leave Twitter.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. do you think Twitter is going to be here for much longer?
I hope not. I don't know. Things always get saved, you know?
Things get saved.
Yeah. Twinkies, we thought we were going to lose Twinkies. We didn't lose Twinkies. Twitter is here to stay.
Twitter is here to stay, no matter what.
I mean, not no matter. I don't know.
Rourke, I want you to explain. I think you have all the answers.
No, I've never left
Twitter.
Never
you have
said
all the
that.
Perspective. I've never left. I've been here the whole time on Twitter.
There's a great book about Twitter. It's called Hatching Twitter.
Hatching Twitter.
Yeah.
It's because the egg people are there?
I think it's because it's a bird.
Okay.
The logo came out of an egg, presumably.
Yes. Okay. And then it was born.
Yes.
And then...
it was run like a clown car.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Are they going to make a movie about that, like The Social Network?
I don't know who would see that movie.
That movie doesn't hold up well, right? I'm gonna do a podcast. I'm going to watch The Social Network and talk about how it's probably... not a good movie anymore.
Yeah. I think that's fair. It has a great soundtrack, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Good score.
It's The Emperor's New Clothes.
Interesting.
I'm like, hey, everybody, it's 2011. Facebook is awesome. Maybe it's not so awesome.
Definitely
now.
Not.
Okay.
I'm not on Facebook either.
Okay. All right. So luckily, I was able to contact you.
I mean, that's why, like, social media, if it exists, should be to facilitate more real life interaction, right? Like, that's the whole point of like online dating. Like, the idea is that you use this thing to actually ground like further interactions. And so, yes, then like we have each other's phone numbers so we can actually communicate in real life. Like, that's the whole point. It's not to, anyway, whatever.
Okay. Well, let me end on a positive
podcast
note. And we meet so many wonderful people from the podcast on social media. But last thing, Rourke, that I know you watch, you know, you have a great palette in terms of what you're viewing on. Is that the right word? Palette? What are you watching these days?
Frankly, I'm not watching a lot because I'm studying a lot, but I'm watching some Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yes.
Those are a nice distraction, a nice meaningless, brainless distraction.
Yes. So I am actually going to work on a podcast for the holidays. I don't think I have it. It's on the, that I am going to, that Matt Elrod, aka Wyatt Nash.
Uh-huh.
Are you familiar with this gentleman?
Yeah.
That he appears in two of the Hallmark of
which ones
that so I'm gonna do a podcast about this with my friend Ryan Popola.
Oh,
and
that's
he's been
so
asking
fun.
Me for a couple of years something about a bridge. Wyatt Nash in Karen Kingsbury The Bridge. Okay. Part 1 and 2.
Okay, so here's the story. There are two Hallmark networks.
Yes.
There's the Hallmark Channel.
I only have one.
Oh, okay. Wow. Do you have the Hallmark Channel or Hallmark Movies and Mysteries?
I think I have...
if you don't have Movies and Mysteries, you're going to have a problem.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube, okay. But it's like one of these things where it's like a postage stamp in the YouTube video and then like a screensaver in the background.
Well, I'll send you my Hallmark Movie Bingo.
Hallmark Movie Bingo.
Yeah, they're very, very funny. Such as conflict could be solved with a simple conversation.
Okay.
Is that Old Man Santa? It's never explained.
You watch a lot of holiday movies?
Yeah.
I didn't think that you were big into the Christmas spirit.
My Instagram bio is xmasclock.com. It's a countdown to Christmas.
Okay. See, I mean, who knew? Who knew? So what is the appeal to you about the Christmas season?
I like good cheer. I like it when people are like kind to their neighbor. I think that I very much buy into the holiday song where it's like even like one of the lyrics is like even a line has like its own like magic where it's like when you're like waiting in line to buy a gift. I don't know. Like it's just a special time.
Wow. Yeah. I thought you were such a cynic like me.
I mean, I am cynical about some things, but I love the idea of like somebody who doesn't like Christmas has to move to a small town and falls in love with Santa's son. this is great.
Yes. Okay. Well, we have been doing nothing but watching Christmas and holiday specials since July. So maybe I'm just looking forward to talking about Wyatt Nash.
I will listen to this podcast.
Okay, great.
I'm excited.
All right. Let's later in December. Now that we're in December. Okay, Rourke, let me let Rourke go. I said that she was a captive here earlier in the show, and it turned out to be more true than we probably thought it was going to be early on.
I've wriggled free.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thanks to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast, make all of this podcasting possible. We are going to have some special coverage as well coming up, and the patrons have been a big part of this journey to 2,500 episodes of Rob as a Podcast.
Wow. Coming up. That's a milestone.
Yes. So we're going to have something, a little something to commemorate that coming up soon as well. We'll get back into everything with Josh Wiggler in the Wiggle Room. And hey, look, if you are like Rourke, and been counting down the days to the holiday season and are crossing those names off your list as you're picking up those gifts, don't forget our link for amazon.com/shop/RHAP. You can find the link in the banner for our associate link on robhasawebsite.com. Rourke, anything else?
You know, just happy holidays to all.
Happy holidays to all. And
you can leave it there.
And to all, a good night. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.